Jill Chang is an international philanthropy advisor who works with a team across 20 countries. Her book, Quiet is a Superpower, has been translated into 6 languages and has become a bestseller in the U.S., Taiwan, and Japan. Jill has over 15 years of experience working in marketing across many sectors, including with Major League Baseball. She is a graduate of leadership programs at Harvard University and Tsinghua University in Beijing. She's delivered over 200 speeches and training sessions on different continents and is the winner of Girls in Tech Taiwan 40 Under 40. Jill also recently was featured in Forbes Japan's issue of Prominent Women in Asia. Hey, Jill Chang, how are you there in Taiwan?
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you so much for having me. Things are wonderful here.
That's great. I was just laughing because that sounded like such an extrovert greeting, didn't it? I should probably tell the listeners just a little bit of how you and I met, which I'll give the brief story. I think you had reached out to me and told me you were planning on writing a book, or you already started in Taiwan. And that was exciting in the first place to me to learn about, you know, the introvert movement spreading across the globe. And sure, definitely to your word, you completed that book probably in record time, I would say. Quiet is a Superpower. And then fast forward, it was then translated into English and now in Japanese, and it's a bestseller. And I should say you became a bestseller. I'm not sure I said that in your bio, but you became a, should I use the word superstar, Jill?
You know, I probably won't like that idea. That doesn't sound
what
nice.
What would be an introvert version of that word? I don't know.
Just an author.
I think that's fine. Let's just say what it is, right?
Yeah.
Quiet is a super. So let's get right to it then. You know, I would like you to just tell a little bit about how you came into this. You, you know, obviously are working a day job that you love, right? But you also have, discovered about yourself that you were an introvert. I think when you were about 30 or so. Talk a little bit about what that journey was like you know, how it helped you sort of have a different trajectory in your life.
Yeah. So, my career actually started, in the sports industry, which is like super extroverted. And I was doing marketing in that industry. So for the first, I would say 10 years of my life, I was trying very hard to be like someone else. I want to be more outgoing. I want to be a people person. I want to be, a quote unquote leader that I read on business magazines. I tried so hard, but I then realized, okay, it's probably not going to work for me because I come home every day and I feel exhausted and drained all the time. And then when I was 30 years old, around 30 years old, I came across your book, Jennifer, and also the amazing book from Susan Cain. And that was the turning point for me because that's how I realized, oh my gosh, I'm not worse than the others. I'm just different. And that's the first time that I learned the word introversion or introvert. Like growing up, I was always a very quiet kid, but I thought that was me. Like I'm just quiet, but I never thought, okay, that's introvert. And I didn't know what strengths or characteristics of this personality. And I just feel like, okay, this is something I need to change. I cannot be like this for forever. I want to be better. So I went through a process to learn more about myself and start to appreciate and really embrace who I am.
Yeah, I remember you talking, Jill, about the fact that you thought maybe you didn't work hard enough or you were slow, and you really did a lot of self-deprecation. So what you learned about being an introvert and you identify with that, I imagine, and from what you said, it was pretty liberating. At the same time, you had to unlearn some of that negative thinking. So how did you sort of come into your own? It's been now what, at least we won't give away your total age, but it's another few years after that. Yeah. So did you start talking about it with people, writing about that? Was the book itself a way for you to kind of step into your power?
Sort of. Like, I read so many books about introverts. I literally just tried to find every book I could and read it about introversion. I tried to understand, because this is a new area for me. I never identified myself as an introvert before I was 30. So, I dig into it and I was amazed on the knowledge and then everything about introversion. And, I started writing this book because it's, for me, it's a process of try and error. Like every day I went to work, I try something from the books that I read. I thought, okay, this works and this doesn't work. You know, it's a series of experiments.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then wow. Those experiments lasted for it's still ongoing. Like I do it on a daily basis. Whatever I do, I try to do something in my own quiet way. And then there was one day that I realized, okay, maybe I should write a book and share about my experiments and the lessons learned with my fellow introverts. Maybe they're younger. Maybe they were just like me, 10 years old, 15 years ago, 10 years ago. And they're still struggling with their own career path or fighting or appreciating who you are, who they are. So yeah, I thought about, okay, why don't I just wrote my stories down and then share the lessons that I learned. And maybe it will be helpful for, I don't care if it's 30 people or 300 people, like as long as it's helpful to my tribe, my introverted tribe, I think that might be something worth doing. So that's how I guess.
That's great. I mean, you already knew that you had a tribe out there because you were reading about it, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there were like introverts out there. I don't know them. And because introverts, we don't come forward and say, hey,
don't hang out.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure there were people like.
Well, now you talk a lot about, as many introverts do, about writing as a way for you. It's a strength. We identified it in Quiet Influence as one of the six key strengths that introverts have is to express themselves through writing, to put forth their ideas. And I love how you've described it. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that because you were writing the book and getting clear and sharing the message. But you also used writing in your role as an executive in a nonprofit, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. kind of share things after the meeting and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I feel like I'm still not very good at standing up, especially in larger group meetings. Mm-hmm. So that I'm still struggling with that. But instead of just giving it up, I try to explore more alternatives. For example, after meetings, I would put together my thoughts because I couldn't say it during the meeting. So after the meeting, I would put together my thoughts and maybe list some of the action items that I propose or follow up items from the meetings and share with the group so that they know, even if I didn't speak during the meeting, I'm still contributing in my own way. And I wasn't just sitting there and doing nothing, you know? So yeah, I think writing is definitely one of the alternatives that I rely on very much, outside of talking.
Because of the book and the popularity of the book, you know, that must have been, you really had to do a lot of public speaking. That must have been a real change for you to be out in public so much.
Yes. It's really, really different. It's totally different than what I expected. I thought being an author, this is my first time being an author, so maybe I'm making wrong assumptions, but I thought being an author is more about writing and less about talking. That's why I wrote, right? But at the end of the day, I realized, oh my gosh, there are so many interviews, public speakings and like live streaming, you know, stuff. I need to talk to different audiences. And I need to really create contents for different people because all those interviews, their target audiences were different. So Yeah, I started to learn that skills, that speaking skills, and as I promote my book. But I realized something that's really helpful as an introvert is because we are deep thinkers, I think, eventually. And if given more time, I think we can do a better job because we have the flexibility of preparing and customizing the contents and really thinking about what would be the best way to communicate ourselves and communicate the ideas with the target audiences, which may be different every time, right? So yeah, it's still a learning process for me. I still struggle a lot with all those interviews and public speakings, but I try to give myself more flexibility in preparation and getting to know who I'm talking to, getting to know what they're interested in, just to get myself equipped to make sure that whatever I say is helpful to the audience.
Yeah. And I think it's so cool because you're getting the message out. Books don't sell themselves, right? And if, you know, if you look at it that way, right, that, I'm trying to get my book and my message into the hands of people who could really benefit from that. You sort of suck it up, I assume, you know, and just do that and you get better, right? Remember the four P's we talk about, right? The practice and the preparation and all of those things. So it's been really, so cool for me to watch from, I don't know how many thousands of miles away we are, but I know it's halfway around the world and watching you on social and seeing these pictures of you with, you know, what's her name? The organizer, Marie Kondo, being one of the top women in Japan Japanese edition of Forbes recently. Mm-hmm. You're not Japanese, right? Asian women, I guess they profile.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so one thing I want to, as you've been out on this journey, you've been learning. I mean, we've had discussions early on where you had certain perspectives as a new author, you know, and talking to people. One of the things I believe that you have more insight into now, I assume as you've been, and we should tell people you've been working in the United States a lot through the years. So you have that perspective of a Western society. Let's talk a little bit about the Eastern and the extrovert and introvert society. And in particular, I'd love you to share your stories about commercials that you observed because you've been out watching commercials. And it's so interesting to hear about the difference there.
Yeah. Yeah. I probably cannot speak on behalf of all the Eastern Asians, but I feel like I grew up in Taiwan and I went to the United States for graduate school and the big part of my career is actually in the United States. So growing up, I feel like Eastern Asian culture is more open to embrace quietness. Like if you just sit in the class without speaking, without raising your hand, it's fine as long as you show that you learn everything the teachers taught. But in the US, it's very different. We are encouraged to speak up, stand up, or to participate in group discussions or to get on stage and make presentations. That's the difference in education system. And in commercials, I noticed that in Eastern Asian, there are, for example, energy drinks, or drinks that with very high caffeine. But their commercials are like people medicating or people doing zen activities, and it's very quiet and calm. Whereas in the US, I see a lot, even if it's a milk commercial that's no caffeine at all, you can see like everybody was smiling, or a soccer mom running around, or
they're wired, huh?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
It's so different.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you've had to really speak both languages. I mean, you've had to sort of adapt, right? When you've here and worked and things. And I admire, Jill, how you've done it. Like you've gone to conferences and you've figured out ways to sort of protect your time when you do that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so especially in networking events. So a lot of times I was sent to networking events because not because I wanted to, but because my managers asked me to. And the reason I was there is because they wanted me to make connections with the people or to explore the potential business opportunities or to chat with potential clients, which I am not very good at because there was one time I remember I brought a full box of business cards. I tried to get into a social event, a cocktail party to be exact, but I stood there at the front door for 30 seconds and I just realized I couldn't move in. Like, I didn't even have the nerve to get in because everyone there was like chatting. They're so
comfortable.
They're so comfortable and they're laughing and drinking. And I was like, why am I even doing here? So, I decided to quit, trying. But instead I went back to my hotel room and, what I did is that I started to doing research by going over the list of guests of that party. And then I found several, potential clients that may be interested in the service that I provide. And I sent private chat to them and say, hey, can we have a coffee chat together just for like 20, 30 minutes tomorrow? Because it's a like 4-day conference. So it worked because it was a smaller group, one-on-one chat and more comfortable with a really delivering what I want to say about my service, about my products. And then, yeah, one of the people that I talked to really liked my service and, she actually brought in like 300, clients for me after that. And that was incredible because my goal to the meeting was like 10 clients and I ended up getting 300. So yeah.
So there sets a powerful lesson and you've done that. I know that's a strategy you've used in other places, but to me, it really strikes me as that's using the strengths of an introvert who prepares, who, thinks strategically about what's the best way to develop these one-on-one relationships, right? And to reach out and have coffee. Instead of saying, oh, I can't, I'm not good at schmoozing and, I'm not going to be a success here and walking back to the room and watching Netflix, you know.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I went there with the goal and I really want to reach that goal, but I know deep down that cocktail party wasn't for me. It wouldn't work anyway.
Well, one of the things I've been working on, as you know, from my latest work on the creating introvert friendly workplaces, and we've been really looking at how do we change cultures? To me, that's sort of a way that conferences have always been, right? We've always had to have that structure and what would you think would be another way? And I think they're changing somewhat. I am hearing that conference meeting planners, for instance, are asking for more facilitative exercises, and they don't have many, stand-up keynotes with the sage from the stage kind of thing. I'm talking from the speaker. What would you think from for a conference, what would be another way to be more introvert friendly, so that introvert doesn't have to have a panic attack going seriously, but anxiety can be out the roof. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think several things would be super helpful. One is getting access to the information of all the participants. And the second is smaller group discussions, themed discussions. And the third is a way for people to do follow up in a more structured way. So I wanted to share one of my recent experiences. So early, like last month, there was a huge international book fair here in Taipei. And because it's basically the first book fair in Asia after the pandemic, Taiwan is lifting all the restrictions right now. So authors from different continents flew to Taiwan to participate in that big event. And I was part of it, but the whole thing was too busy for me. Like imagine thousands of people, like different authors. We have their literature.
Crazy.
It's
crazy.
Totally crazy. But what I found really helpful was actually one of the dinner parties. There were only 10 authors, from different countries, and the organizer was super thoughtful in providing us all the names and the works each authors did, and even their newsletters were included. So I had the time to research. And then during the dinner party, we were like, it was a very freestyle chat, but because the group was carefully selected, we have similar backgrounds, we did similar work in similar areas, so we clicked. And that was super amazing, because that was actually the first time during the pandemic that I feel like, yeah, maybe I do like physical events and maybe I can actually enjoy talking to real person, real people.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually felt energized after that event.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it didn't take probably that much work, maybe some, but some forethought. You know, one of the things is having intention to be at least consider introverts in the planning of any kind of a intervention, right? How can we make it introvert friendly? That's a beautiful example. I'm sure you, are going to keep that with you and develop those relationships, I would think.
Definitely. Yeah. I actually already, scheduled a more in-depth coffee chats with several of the authors. So that was amazing. And I
feel you're like drinking a lot of coffee. I don't know. Talking about those coffee chats. I had fun. We had this Southern fried chicken lunch that time. That's right. Right when you came to Atlanta, we didn't have any coffee then though. But you mentioned something about getting out of your office. And I picture you sometimes when I see you. You know, with you've been doing remote before COVID. You were doing it several years before that. And, you know, a lot of introverts, you know, in the beginning of the pandemic, when I surveyed over 200 introverts were like, yes, bring it on. This is the best thing ever. I love it. And as time went on, when we checked in with people later, there were less people that were enamored of having it full time, you know, maybe having like a hybrid situation. So, what are your thoughts now as you've kind of had a chance to talk with people and observe, you know, people in your audiences? What are people talking about regarding remote as well as the companies? Because they're making sense now, right? And giving up office space. And we're kind of days right now, right?
Yeah. For me personally, I've been remote working for 6 years full time. And it's working perfectly for me, but I also noticed it's not working for every introvert. Like I'm super introverted. So like working from home is
super organized. That's right. Super organized.
Yeah. Like you say, in addition to being introverted, I think there are more qualities needed to be a successful remote worker, like discipline, that organizing capabilities. And from my audiences, I feel like, yeah, even introverts, they need to adjust themselves to full-time remote working. Because when you're remote working, that means the line between your work and personal life is really blurry. And then you have everything together in a space, like you don't have a chance to have transition. Like when you're commuting, when you commute, it's like moving from your home to office. It's like a routine to informing yourself, like, okay, I'm getting ready to work. And when I'm going from work to home, there's a transition, but that doesn't have, like remote working doesn't have that anymore in the transition. So that can be hard for people to adjust. And then I also noticed that there are still introverts out there, because introverts still need friends. Like we still need human interactions, and it's very, very different to interact virtually versus like in real, in physical events or, situations, and people miss that connections. So yeah, I feel like remote working might be a solution, in some circumstances for me personally, because I'm working with, an international
yes.
team.
Yes.
There's no way that I can be physically together with all my colleagues. But I think having such physical interaction is critical also for bonding, for better communication, for efficiency of communications.
Yeah. Is there one strategy or one tip that you would say as a leader yourself of these teams that you have taken or step you've taken to try to get your teams to connect and have that relationship and make it not all about work and the tasks? Anything you do that? Cause since they are virtual.
Yeah. What we do is that, sometimes we will have like first virtual, coffee hour again. Sorry.
More coffee again. How come you're not more hyper than you are? That cafe, it must be decaf. I can't. Yeah. The Red Bull thing. Okay, whatever. All right.
We would have
a coffee hour. Yeah.
Or tea time. Like we have a theme. For example, in one of the tea times, we would share, okay, what's the underestimated tourist destination in your country? And then people can share from their own experience, and that's how we get to learn each other and learn each other's countries. And we also do physical events we try to do smaller groups every year and larger groups every other year, so that people can actually hang out with each other
in person.
In person.
So are you going to come to the United States again anytime soon? Do you have any plans to do that? We'd love to see you.
Hopefully in the summer.
No baseball games on the agenda.
Definitely yes.
Okay. And who's your team now? We have to share that. I know Jill worked for the baseball?
Minnesota Twins. I'm still a Twins fan.
Is that still your team?
Yes. Forever.
Okay. Very good. Go Twins, I guess, right?
Yes.
Great. Well, listen, I've taken your time. You have shared such gold as always, and we could talk forever, and we will have you probably back on again. Tell people the book is Quiet is a Superpower, The Secret Strengths of Introverts in the Workplace by my friend Jill Chang. Definitely get a copy. I love the stories in there that you share about, that you mentioned earlier in the episode about, you know, how you describe those stories and they became part of the book. Both the challenges as well as the strengths. And Susan Cain, our colleague, called it a must-have book for today's quiet warrior. Quiet warriors, plural. Well, Jill, I see you as a quiet warrior. So. Jill Chang is an international philanthropy advisor who works with a team across 20 countries. Her book, Quiet is a Superpower, has been translated into 6 languages and has become a bestseller in the US, Taiwan, and Japan. Jill has over 15 years of experience working in marketing across many sectors, including with Major League Baseball. She is a graduate of leadership programs at Harvard University and Tsinghua University in Beijing. She's delivered over 200 speeches and training sessions on different continents and is the winner of Girls in Tech Taiwan 40 Under 40. Jill also recently was featured in Forbes Japan's issue of Prominent Women in Asia. Hey, Jill Chang, how are you there in Taiwan?
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you so much for having me. Things are wonderful here.
That's great. I was just laughing because that sounded like such an extrovert greeting, didn't it? I should probably tell the listeners just a little bit of how you and I met, which I'll give the brief story. I think you had reached out